Welcome to a new episode of the Oncology Peer Review On The Go podcast. I'm your host, Matthew Fowler, and today is Monday, March 28. This week, I spoke with Dr. Matthew Matizar, a lymphoma specialist and chief of the Medical Oncology Service at Memorial Sloan Kettering Cancer Center, Bergen, about research from the December issue of Oncology titled Real World Assessment of Patient Care and Practice Efficiency with the Introduction of Subcutaneous Rituximab. The retrospective observational analysis examined patient care delivery and practice efficiency changes using real-world data. Patients with diffuse large B-cell lymphoma, follicular lymphoma, or chronic lymphocytic leukemia who received a rituximab-containing regimen were eligible for the study. Matizar touched on subcutaneous rituximab, the role it can play in treatment, the time savings associated with its use, and plenty more. Take a listen to our conversation. Dr. Matizar, thank you so much for hopping on the podcast to speak with me about your research. I really appreciate your time.
I'm really grateful for the opportunity to talk about it with you.
So before we get into, you know, the bits and pieces, the information in this research, why did you and your colleagues want to examine rituximab, specifically the subcutaneous form of it?
It really came out of some clinical discussions we were having as a service. I think that everybody in practice, whether you're an academic oncologist or in private practice, feels a bit of a pinch. We're all very, very busy clinically. Our infusion rooms are very, very busy. And we're always looking for ways to be a little bit more effective, a little bit more efficient, a little bit more patient-friendly. And as we were gaining access to rituximab's sub-Q formulation, you know, we were asking ourselves, I wonder what this can do for us, not just for our patients, but what can it do sort of for our institution and for our practice at the larger level, you know, as we incorporate sub-Q formulation into our sort of routine clinical approach to patient care.
And so it sounds like you kind of, you know, started to get into to the response to this next question, but I was hoping you could kind of just synthesize the objective of this study. You know, what did you really hope to accomplish when delving into this research?
Right. So what we were trying to do fundamentally is to ask the question, as we incorporate sub-Q rituximab into routine care, what's the impact? Not at individual patient level, but at sort of at our institution level. Can we move the needle in important ways? Can we open up more chair time for patients who have longer treatments or emergency or add-on treatments? Can we be a little bit more nimble? Can we avoid this chair lock situation where all the rooms get filled up with patients and that leaves patients waiting for treatments in the waiting room or not being added on the same day? Can we be more effective by offering this alternative administration approach for rituximab to try to be a little bit more nimble?
Right. And so let's get into this research a little bit. I just wanted to ask you how the data were collected and really what were some of the key endpoints you and your colleagues focused on with this?
You know, I'm primarily a clinical researcher and I'm used to research being at sort of at the patient level, right? Where you're looking at individual patients' scans and their outcomes and their toxicities. This was a very different project for me and my colleagues to undertake. And it really was with the tremendous work and leadership of my research team. Annie Q and Esther Droll, our statistician, really did a tremendous amount of effort. And it was also a very nice collaboration between us and the real-world evidence team at Genentech coming together to try to answer this question. And we went through our institution data in terms of room occupancy times, chair utilization time, chair saturation time, these sort of operational metrics that we track as an institution, typically not with a research focus, but really for a quality assessment, quality improvement bent. But here we were using those same data that we already collect for other purposes and repurposing them to ask an academic question in a meaningful way.
Right. The method really sounds pretty efficient to kind of utilize that data. So what really were the main findings from this research? And I guess to avoid us kind of walking through every little bit and piece of the findings, what really stood out to you and your colleagues that you think is pretty significant?
So, yeah, I certainly have no interest to read the paper aloud to you or your audience today, right? But let's talk about like what I think matters from our findings. The first thing I'll say is that even as an academic institution that really is, you know, very much future oriented and excited to incorporate novel therapies, our uptake of the sub-Q formulation of rituximab was really incomplete. And that's partially because there appears to be some inter-provider differences in terms of individual comfort level for prescribing it or awareness of it. So that limited the ability of the sub-Q formulation rollout to really have system-level impact in terms of our chair utilization and chair occupancy rates. That being said, even the moderate uptake of sub-Q rituximab really does seem to make a difference. Certainly makes a difference at the individual patient level in terms of the amount of time they're spending in the room. At some level, that's just logical. It's a 5 minutes of Q injection versus an infusion. Of course, the patient's going to spend less time in the room. But we also saw that we can actually begin to impact practice characteristics with enough use of sub-Q rituximab that we can free up chairs for same-day treatments, add-on treatments, new treatments. And that's the important finding for me, is to say, if a practice is using a lot of rituximab in their routine care, and we're a lymphoma service, we use a lot of CD20 antibody therapy, but if there's a practice out there that's using a lot of anti-CD20 antibody therapy and is trying to look for ways to be more efficient and to free up chairs, this is very good evidence that you can do so in a patient-friendly way. And if you use enough sub-Q formulation, you're going to free up enough minutes, enough staff time with your pharmacists, with your nurses, the chair itself, that you'll have a little bit more capacity to take care of other patients in a more efficient way because of that.
Right. This really, to me, sounds like one of the early steps to a larger process. And so how do you think this research is going to inform treatment or decision-making for treating patients with specifically rituximab moving forward?
Well, I think that patients have choices, right? They can get intravenous rituximab, or whether it's Rituxan brand or bioequivalence or sub-Q formulation of rituximab in the Rituxan Hycela. I think that there has to be discussions ongoing between payers, physicians, and patients to figure out what's in everyone's best interests. And there's clearly a rationale for using the more efficient administration of subcutaneous rituximab at the practice level, at the patient level. And listen, you know, this was envisioned before COVID. Our current state, where we really are trying to minimize the amount of time the patients are spending at centers out of concerns, these are immunocompromised patients, we're all well aware of the risks of COVID. I think that it only further clarifies the value proposition of a more brief treatment approach for patients who are at risk for infectious complications.
Right, that makes complete sense. And so those are really the main questions I had for you on this research. Was there anything that we haven't touched on, you know, maybe like an overall takeaway or just something that you wanted to emphasize about this research that we didn't get a chance to?
I guess I would just say that we can even take these ideas a step further. Fundamentally, what we're trying to do as oncologists is to improve our patients' lives. And part of that is to make our patients' lives easier. There's a lot of wasted time. And we're finding new ways to save patients' time, whether it's telemedicine, whether it's more brief treatment. Sub-Q rituximab is very easy to administer, very easy to receive. It's a very well-suited therapy for ongoing efforts to move care into the home. And I think that this field of research is an opportunity for other investigators to carry the ball forward and say, how can we continue to approach the question of how do we care for our patients compassionately, efficiently, and safely?
Absolutely. I think that's a perfect point to end on. Dr. Matisar, thank you so much for your time. I really appreciate it.
It's my pleasure. Thank you so much.
Don't forget to subscribe to the Oncology Peer Review On The Go podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or anywhere podcasts are available. Or listen online at cantornetwork.com/resources/podcasts. The Oncology Peer Review On The Go podcast is the official podcast of Cantor Network, the home of the journal Oncology. For more information and to stay up to date with the latest news and notes in the world of oncology, visit us at cancernetwork.com or find us on Twitter at Cancer Network without the O, or on Facebook and LinkedIn at Cancer Network. Thanks so much for tuning in, and I'll see you again next time.